And he didn't say, my daughter's dead. He fell at Jesus' feet and worshiped. And I want to place us, before our eyes today and ask you openly, if you had that kind of situation, could you worship Jesus before you told him about your problem? Some of you can't even get by one short dollar. You're too busy telling him about your problems. You can't worship him under any conditions. This has got to go. You get a little down. You get a little out. You get a little touchy, whatever. And the laws of God and God himself go to blazes and flesh rises up and it becomes King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it is not tolerable in the kingdom of God. It will not be tolerated. A man of God will not tolerate it. A woman of God will not tolerate it. Nothing but the mind of Christ. Nothing but the mind of Christ should be tolerated in our flesh. If you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll try to get through this. I have a feeling that God wants to touch everybody in this place today. I mean literally touch them. And I know He's going to have to do it. He's going to do it through His Word. He's going to do it because you're going to listen to His Word. And if you're touched, don't you say ouch. You say praise the Lord. Don't you pout. You'll have no place in the kingdom of God. Today in Jesus' name, I'm going to show you that if our communion, our relationship with Jesus is proceeding on a daily basis and a constant basis, we will be changed. Our old ways will pass away and they will be traded for better ways. Our image will conform to Him. We will not try to conform Him to our image. We will look to Jesus face to face and we will see our old ways and we will say, Jesus, I want to be where You are and please don't come to where I am. Change me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if, y'all see those two words? The main one being if. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, I know that Christians like to dance and shout over the idea that they're a brand new person. The minute they say Jesus, they don't have any more problems. This scripture doesn't say that. Beholding is an ongoing process. Passing away is an ongoing process. And becoming new is an ongoing process if any man be in Christ. Now I'm going to tell you that the Bible says that if you would judge yourself, the world cannot judge you. Our problem is Christians don't have enough discipline to judge themselves. They don't want to be judged. They just want to use Scripture to wipe off the dirt. It's not tolerable. It is not God's way. Jesus didn't come in his lazy boy in his lounge chair and walk this earth. He worked at what He did. He had extreme discipline. And He walked in that, and He talked in that, and He loved in that, and He prayed in that, and He worshiped in that, and He fasted in that. Now, I want to ask you something, point blank, and I don't know if any of these notes will get read today. But I'm going to tell you this. If Jesus, the only man that was without any sin, was required to pray and to fast and to discipline his body, how much more so you and I? Boy, that was a rousing response. If Jesus, a man without sin, was required of God the Father to discipline his body, to pray and to fast, And when his body wanted to do one thing and it wasn't what God's will was, he told it to shut up and he kept going. How much more you and I? Did Jesus do that one time or did he do it his entire life? Well, if you're like Christ, then you're going to be doing it your entire life. And this one-time thing has got to pass away because it's old hat and it doesn't work. And I'm in the mood to fight if anybody wants to argue. I've got an anger in me that's boiling up over the last few weeks that's coming from the heart of God. It's coming from that scene where Jesus looked at people and said, I'd rather you be hot or I'd rather be cold. You make me sick when you're lukewarm. I'm tired of the talk. Let's see some do. Now I'm going to show you an example. It's just a little minor example of some things that are going to pass away today. Now, I dearly love these shoes. My wife hates them and I love them. Because they're comfortable. They're comfortable. I can put them on right now and they're a lot more comfortable than what I got on. But they really don't bring edification. It's not exactly what I even wear them when company comes by. I think that's what makes her the most mad. But I'd rather put those on than anything else that I've got. Why? Because I've grown comfortable in them. I got a pair of shorts here. You can just about see through them. In a lot of places you can. I put my hand in my pocket and it comes out the hole. You know? But they're comfortable. But do you see anything beautiful about those? What did he say? Maybe so, I don't know. This is what Jesus is talking about right here. This does the job. Do you know that? These do the job. These keep the rocks off my feet and these keep the sunburn where it's not supposed to be. That's what they do. But you know, why do people get so foolish that they wear stuff like this when they have so much better? Well, she's lucky she can get me to wear anything. You know how you get rid of these? Because your wife can't do it. Your children can't do it. Your friends can't do it. Well, now that I make the decision, what do? I put them someplace where I can't get it back. Right? Because if they're available, if they're handy, I'm taking them back. I promise you. The next time that these shoes are laying there on the floor and I look around and I need a pair of shoes, they're going on. I guarantee it. And if I need a quick pair of breeches, these are going on. Because I don't even want them to wash them very often. I just want them handy. These are clean, by the way. They were washed. I made her wash them last night. The only way to get rid of them is to put them someplace where they can't be touched. That means what Jesus does, but you have to follow. If there are attributes in your life, if there are habits in your life, you have to throw them away. You have to get rid of them. You have to break them. That other thing. Ah. You like bottles around the house? Now let's touch places nobody wants to touch. Everybody's got old comfortable clothes. How about your pills? The pills that make you feel good. Most of them don't do much at all, but they sure make you feel good when you take them. If they're there on the shelf, you know what you're going to do? You're going to take them. If it's in the fridge, you're going to eat it. Hey, you want to lose weight? Don't buy food. Buy only food like meat. Try getting fat on that. Don't buy sweets. Don't buy Cokes. See if it doesn't work. See if you can't put a little discipline in your life that causes a change in your life. Discipline. I have to throw those away. Nobody else can do it for me. I have to throw those away. If I want to trim up, I got to quit reaching in that refrigerator, and if I can't stop that, then I got to quit putting it in. Well, I just can't stand why I can't. I mean, I can't understand why I don't lose weight. Well, let me check your fridge. Let me check your pantry. Let me see where you're hiding those cookies and stuff. I'll figure it out real fast. It's all formulas, right? It's all formulas. I was out with a lady that was making crazy noises and things out behind my... She had a motorhome out there. And she was beginning to see Satan in everything. She spent so much time doing that. She spent all night. She spent all day. She wouldn't go to bed. And she's finding things inside of this motorhome where the enemy had set traps. Lady, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're not dealing with your paranoia. You're not thinking with the mind of Christ. You're not getting a hold of yourself. Do you know that your mind has old junk in it? And if you don't get it out, it's going to destroy you? She said, do you see that? I said, no. And you don't either. You just think you do. She said, trust me, this ex-boyfriend of hers can do this. I said, no, ma'am, I won't trust you. You're beside yourself. Why would you ask me to trust you? You're seeing things wrong that aren't wrong. Why would you ask me to trust you at all? I won't trust you. You trust me. It's not wrong. That's what Jesus says to us all the time, right? Get your mind in order. Let's look at a couple of things. That we do have control of. You know, I've been around people all my life that act like they don't have control of themselves. Y'all know any like that? They act like they don't have any control. I just mentioned one. Eating. They act like they don't have control of their weight. You are lying to yourself if you say that. You are lying to yourself if you say that. And if you believe that, you'll start lying to me. Don't expect me to believe it. The next thing you will lie to Jesus Christ Himself, and He won't believe it either. That's a succession of lying to yourself. If you give yourself an excuse for doing anything except what's acceptable in the eye of God, you are lying to yourself. And God will not hear one of your prayers. Don't make excuses for yourself. Our language. How many of you have known people that just fly off the handle and they'll go to cussing a blue streak and then they'll apologize to you later? That's not repentance. That is not repentance. That is not repentance. I'm sorry I did that is not repentance if it happens the second or third or fourth or fifth time. Repentance is turning from that. Don't do it again. Will something slip once in a while? Maybe. But it better get less and less and less and less and less, or the scripture that applies, therefore if any man be in Christ doesn't apply to you, you're not in Christ. Being in Christ Jesus doesn't make you perfect instantly. It makes you perfect. It may take a while, but it's still going to do it. Language. We have control of that. If there are things, that words that we use, slang phrases, the way we say things, if those things need to be changed, then why don't you do like the ruler? Why don't you touch Jesus? And see if it don't change you. See if that dead won't pass away and it becomes life again. Remember that? How about habits? You know why I'm going to touch these today? Because they're going to touch everybody. Something in this is going to touch everybody. You're not exempt. This morning I'm telling you, you got a little bit too close to God and you're not exempt today. That's what happens in worship service. I promise you. Worship service, let me tell you what worship is. Let me give you the pure definition of worship. There's no excuses. There's no place to hide. There's no reason, rhyme for anything you do. There's just Jesus. And when He touches something, He don't want you talking back. He wants you to change. He don't want to hear the excuses about your mom, pop, grandma, work, or anything else. That's what worship is. You place Him at the highest place in every one of your habits that you've got. Even the old britches, they got to go. The old things must pass away and things must become new. Habits such as, we mentioned one while ago, eating. You know, I've been after my wife for years, not to lose weight, but to eat correctly. And so what does she do? She checks out all these fool diets. You can't have any sugar. You can't have any carbohydrates. You know how the garbage that comes across the way. God didn't make us that way. Tell all the doctors, lawyers, and Indian chiefs to tell you that. They're full of baloney. God didn't make us that way. There's two things. You must understand that your body was made by God to process food. And the only way you can make it do something strange is for you to ruin the process. You got that? You must ruin the process. That's all you have to do. You must do something out of balance. If you take all the sugars away, you'll die. If you take all the carbohydrates away, you'll die. If you take meat away, the Bible says you're vegetarian, therefore you're weak. That's what the Bible says. What did he tell Adam and Eve? You see this? You can partake of anything out there. Except, don't disobey me. Don't disobey me. All of a sudden, she's beginning to eat more and lose weight. Because she finally, some doctor, isn't that amazing, told her what I've been telling her for years. Some doctor, she finally believed. And she's losing weight. And eating a lot. Yeah. Old things pass away. Thought processes must pass away. You have to change the way you think. Some of you think that it's all right for you to do some of the things that you do. And I'm here to tell you that I don't care what you think, it's not all right. Our worship. Do you understand that God is beginning to lead us into old things passing away and things becoming new because the old way wasn't all right? I never did think it was all right. For you that think you know what I think, you don't know what I think. I never did think it was all right. I've always felt like that we had some place, we hadn't even started yet as far as praise and worship goes. We're just doing the only thing we know to do, and God has to bless. We're doing it the best we know how, and God has to bless. That's what you have to do. But don't deceive yourself that you arrived yet, or you'll never go anywhere. Prayer time. Do you think being in Christ Jesus would cause us to pray? When your flesh rises up, when you can't accomplish what you need to accomplish, when you speak as Paul spoke, the things that I want to do, I can't do, and the things that I don't want to do, I do. God help! You have just begun a prayer process that will eliminate those statements. They will eliminate them. You begin to pray. You begin to Bible read. How many of you read the Bible enough? Good. Nobody lied this morning. I'm telling you, if you don't like something that's going on in your life, all right, let's just go one step further. If somebody's telling you over and over that something in your life needs to change, don't depend on them to change it. You better go to the source. And if you're not going to the source, you're not getting in Christ Jesus, and old things are not passing away, and all things are not becoming new. How about working habits? I used to. I think we all have a little lazy streak in us. All right, do you want me to point you out? The word is amen. We all have a little lazy streak in us. How do I know that? Because that's what I've been talking about, the discipline in ourselves. That it is not exhibiting old things becoming new. And we have to fight that. I don't know about you, but I don't like to go to work. I don't like that. There's a lot of things in my life I don't like that I do. And put up with. And some of them even have names. You push yourself. You push yourself. You push yourself. And Jesus moves in. You stop pushing yourself and He moves back. That's how simple it is. You don't push yourself, You don't expect him to be alongside because he's a pusher. He's a pusher. He's never satisfied. He knows higher and greater and deeper and wiser things all the time, and he's offering them. But he's saying, follow me. Follow. Do you remember the Bible says, follow me? Follow me? Well, let me tell you something. If you're in bed with the covers over your head, he ain't following you nowhere. You may think that's a comfortable place, but it's only designed for one thing, and that's after the sun goes down, you go to sleep, and when the sun comes up, you wake up. No excuse for anything else unless your job dictates different. How do I know that? Because your body tells you that. The sun draws chemicals from you. God is such a logical God. The sun causes a chemical in you to make you get up and go. And when it goes away, it's drawn away and it makes you stop. That's why there's crazy people in the North and South Poles. They can't handle it. The sun never sets or it never rises. And they have psychiatric problems like crazy. Alcoholism like crazy because they never can get going. Little drink. And I don't mean water. A spirit other than the Spirit of God. Is that sin? Hey, the Bible says that if you overdo it at all, it's a sin. That's as far as I'm going to go. If you overdo it, if you have to have it, it's a sin. Can I tell you this? Here's what Jesus showed us on his walk on earth. And I'll throw smoking in on this too. If you didn't see Jesus do it, it's a sin. I told you, I'm going to touch everybody hard today. If you didn't see Jesus do it, it's a sin. Now, do I need to start pointing out some things about things I've heard and seen in the last couple of months? If you didn't see Jesus do it, it's a sin. Pouting. Any pouters in here? There's all different kinds of pouting. Do we need to mention them? The lip being out. Hey, children, y'all ever do that? I'm not talking to you. Don't talk to me. You know you can pout and not say a thing? Make everybody know? Well, you know who else knows? Jesus knows. And you didn't find that in Him. Anger. I've told you over and over, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus requires us to get angry. How many of you saw Jesus ever throw a fit? Was your fit like His fit? Did it accomplish something good? Must not have been the same thing. A tantrum. Is that an old-fashioned word, a tantrum? Well, I still see it every day. It must not be too old-fashioned. Tantrums can be the same as pouting. Don't speak to me. I'm not talking to you. I'll have nothing to do with you. A tantrum. Crawling in bed, pulling the cover over your head, saying, leave me alone. I'm not going to work today. I don't feel like it. Good. Good. You don't go to work, and I'll crawl in bed with you. We'll all go to work, not go to work, and we'll starve to death. Well, see if that makes sense to you once you get hungry. Yelling. How many of you yell? I'm going to tell you how much you're allowed to yell. As much as you're allowed to shout unto the Lord. I didn't say lift your voice a little bit. I'm not talking about just a little lift of voice because that's part of our language. How about binging? Did you know binging is nothing but anger? You go on a diet, you don't eat, and then you binge. You get mad because you weren't eating. There's other types of binging. I don't get on the internet for a week, so I spend the next 6 hours on it. That's a binge. I haven't had chocolate for 3 weeks. I think I'll just go buy 3 pounds and eat it all. Sure. I think you saw Jesus do that in Mark 149:3, wasn't it? No. Self-pity. How many times did you ever see Jesus feel sorry for himself? How many times did you ever hear him say, I didn't get done what I wanted to get done today, so I'm going to go. Yeah, I'll have a drink. A little martini will do. Knock the edge off. I'll go feel sorry for myself. I'll whine, I'll pout, I'll be mad at those, I'll be mean to those people around me. Self-pity. You know, you don't talk to me right. Self-pity. You need to speak to me different. You know what? I'm speaking to you the way I know how to speak to you. You're going to take it or leave it. It's up to you. Kiss your mad spot. There's two types of things that change. There are things in me that change, and there are people that touch me and change me. Two completely different places. Do you understand? And where we've fallen apart is, why we have so many people licking their own wounds is because there are other people that allow them to do that. Now, did you get that? When Jesus walked this earth, he didn't take pity on people that were pitying themselves. He took pity on people that were trying to touch him. They were working at it. They were striving. They were honest. How about highs and lows? Don't you love being around people that you're not too sure what mood they're going to be in today? Let's see. How many times did we see Jesus do that? In fact, I think the Scripture made a special notation that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, did you say you were Christian? No highs and lows, that's out. Double-minded. You got a church face and you got a home face. You got a work or a sales face, for those of this that are in sales, for those of us that are in sales. And then we have this face that we have when we get relaxed. One face says, I'll kiss anything you got. The other one says, kiss off. It's not allowed because you didn't see it with Jesus. How we treat others. How we treat others. Our reactions, our self-defense mechanisms. How many of you know that Jesus didn't have any self-defense mechanisms? Why? Because he was smart enough to know that he couldn't be judged. He didn't defend himself because he knew it was not necessary. He had a relationship with the Father, and that's all that counted. He had a relationship with the Father, and that's all that counts. Let me tell you something. 2 Corinthians 5:17 only applies to those that are in Christ Jesus. Old things passing away and things becoming new, because you know who you are, and you're not much caring who anybody else is. So there's no defense mechanism. I could spend hours on each one of these. Let me give you a red flag that you can watch for. Watch out for people that just get a kick out of correcting others, but they blow up when they're corrected themselves, or when they become corrected, I should say. Did I mess that up real good? Okay, I'll say it again. Watch out for people that enjoy correcting others but refuse to receive any correction. They get angry. They get hostile. You know what that's a sign of? How many of you even know that Jesus chastises those that he loves? So if you're not used to being chastised, ooh. When Jesus touches me, it's a joy. Even if it's a pain, it's a joy. When he touches me, I'm not worried about you touching me. You can just touch away all you want. I don't care. It's not going to change my mental attitude. It's not going to make me high. It's not going to make me low. Do you know that you can't praise me and make me high? You can pat me on the back. You can give me gifts. You can tell me how beautiful, gorgeous, religious, spiritual I am, and I'm going to say praise God. And you may think that I'm just not even paying any attention. But you see, I know how to keep me from getting the big head. Do you? And then when the enemy begins to attack to bring me down, I know the other end of that too. Because you know what? What you told me was true, but what Jesus told me was more true. I am in Him. and there's nothing going to bring me down. I will not tolerate it in my life. Guess what? I'm not going to tolerate it in yours. You want to go down? You go down by yourself from now on. I'm not coming down with you. I come over there and say, get up. That's what Jesus does. But I'll guarantee you he don't crawl in the pig wallow with you and say, let's wallow together and then we'll come out together. Do we actually believe that Jesus is our Lord? Do we believe that? Is he unpredictable? Is he two-faced? Now here's a be careful how you answer this one. Does he make decisions based on feelings? Whether good or bad, does Jesus ever allow feelings to sway him? Let me tell you what happened when he was on this earth, feeling everything, walking as a man. The pressure of the entire world was facing him, face to face. And as he was praying, his flesh slipped out a word. Can you let this cup? Can I sneak by this one? Do I have to? I don't want to do this one. And you know what? He didn't wait for the Father to say yes, no, or maybe. He instantly corrected himself and said, nevertheless. So we're not going to get turned off with each other when a little negative word slips out. What we're going to get turned on by is when the positive word follows and makes the last word. In our lives, there has to be a last word. Do you know that? God showed me in this process the other day where my wife was way too busy. She was too busy to listen to me. She was too busy to listen to God. That's the way she is. If any of you know her, she's not lazy. And she'll just work her head off and yours too. But you know what happens? That consumes her. And somebody has to say, sit down, be quiet. You're not hearing from God. She didn't like that. She argued with me. She don't ever argue with me, and she did. She argued with me. Didn't you? And you know what I did? And I highly suggest spouses, you do this, but especially men of the house, you must have the last word. It's required. Don't ever let your wife have the last word, because the Bible tells you that the enemy will come in the back door. He never comes in the front door. He comes in the back door. Who's the softest part of the house? The wife is. Are you understanding me? A husband is not there to beat her into obedience. It's there to protect her and cover her. But one of that is I looked at her and said, you will not have the last word. And I did that to her. You will not. Do you understand? You will not. And I got in her face. You will not have the last word. She was trying to out-talk me. Can you imagine that? I didn't know anybody would try that. But I said, you will not have the last word. And she kept trying. And I said, you will not. I will have the last word. And you know what? She finally quit. And I said, now let me tell you the last word. This is what will happen. Now, did we fight? No. That was a spiritual thing going on, not a physical thing. Understand where the war is, because she lost. Did she lose? No, she won. She won. She didn't lose nothing. She let my mind was fixed on God, bringing in the Word of God, foundationalizing, listening to Him, listening to His Word, not work. Work's going to come. You don't have to look for that. It'll just run you down. You have to look for the presence of God. You have to listen for the Word. She won by giving up, just like we do when we're arguing with God. We win when we give up. She thought about it. I saw her crying over in the corner later. I know I didn't even ask. I knew that was God. You hear me? Now, what about your own body? What about your own flesh? Don't you think it's the same way? Don't you think that I've done that to myself? Gone out there in the back and said, you... But I'm going to tell you one thing. The last word out of my mouth is going to be the same as Jesus Christ. It's going to follow. It's going to be a word of God. You know why I have to say that? Because when I can't do that, the Holy Spirit will speak through me. He will enforce the commitment that I made. The last word that I have will be a word of God. It's not going to be Stan's word. When Stan wants to give up, quit, then I have made a commitment to God and I will speak that and the Holy Spirit will help. 2 Corinthians, I'm going to read you the New Stands version. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you follow along there. If any person be in Christ, that means knowing Him and spending time knowing Him every day, that person is becoming new. Old ways and old attitudes are passing away. and all you can see. All things are changing and becoming new and different. My attitudes and outlooks on life are conforming to Jesus. I throw away the old and I put on the new. That is, if I am in Christ. Now the reason I want to remind you of that is the Bible is called a mirror. The Holy Spirit is that mirror image of God Himself and gets in your face. He promised to be one that sticks close unto the brother. And He will, the image of the Word of God, will get in your face and show you where you're messing up. Does everybody know that? He will get in your face and He will show you where you're doing wrong. But that's all He'll do. He's not going to grab you, throw you down, stomp you into a bloody pulp, and then build you back into a new likeness and image. It will not happen. He will require you to do that. This is an exciting message, isn't it? Bob, how'd you quit smoking? How? Really? Did God get between you and the cigarette or cigar? Or was it a matter of you not picking it up? He gave you a desire, didn't He? But you still had the hand. You could have picked one up and lit it any time. Strength prevailed, weakness failed. Right? Anytime God puts something in our lives, shows us, the Holy Spirit says, this has got to change. And thank God He doesn't give us 10,000 things at once. He just deals, He gives us those things as we can deal with them. He shows us that, guess what? He has given us now the desire to change. You're absolutely right. God Himself has given us the desire to change. But we still have the last word. The last word is I will or I won't. Yeah, but you don't understand, Stan. I told him the other day that I will, and then I did. Well, then you didn't mean it. Let's just get simple. You didn't mean it. And He knew it, and He let you fall right there, and now He's back in your face again. Right? Come on. You know how we're going to get into worship? We got to be pure. You cannot go into worship with lies tied around your neck. It's not going to happen. You can't walk into the presence of God. Don't lie to me. Don't tell me that you sin every day in thought, word, and deed, but you go into the presence of God and worship. That He's walking with you and talking with you and telling you, no, He isn't, because you stopped listening to Him a long time ago. Now you're just making things up. And by the way, you're using the name of the Lord in vain when you do that. If you don't know for sure God told you, don't you say, God told me. Because that's using the name of the Lord in vain. We need to look at ourselves and make some judgments. Do you know that you are representing Christ? Or you are representing some other force? Only two choices. Do you care who and how and what you represent? Are we always the same as Jesus is? Are we double-minded in our actions and responses? Or do we care? Do we act like we don't care about anything? I don't care what you think, Donna. Patrick, I don't care what you think. We say that, we don't mean it. Because I do care what they think. I do care what they think. Or I do not have the mind of Christ. You know what I care about? I care that I might do something to make them stumble. I care very much about that. I don't act like it sometimes, but I care. I'm not going to tell you how much I care. I'm not going to show you how much I care. Because that's just vulnerability exposed. That's all it is. You find a soft spot and you'll attack it. That's just the way people are. Can those that really know us, our spouses, our children, especially our children, can those that really know us say that we look like Christ or act like the devil? And do we care what they think? These children need idols. They need heroes. You know that? They need them. God has put it in children to look for heroes. He's put it in them. If there's something going on in the household, can each parent turn to the other parent and say, be like them, act like them? Or would that be doing a disfavor, a disservice to the children? How is it in your house? Hey, God's trying to touch. Don't put up the shield. Take them back down. No way. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we Christians have no veil over our faces. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Christians have no veil over their faces. Do you know what that means? They're not hiding behind the name of the Lord. They're not hiding behind a ministry title. They're not hiding behind a sales face or a church face. They're just hanging out. Everything they are, they're just faces hanging right out. Nothing's covering it. Nothing's hiding. But Christians have no veil over our faces. We can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works and is working within us, we become more and more like Him. As He works in us, we become more and more like Him. How is it evidenced? Fruit. How is it evidenced? Actions. Can I just give you, I'm going to give you first a direction for yourself and then for others. Number one, this is biblical. You must judge yourself. If you don't like what you see, you better get to changing. And you better get to knowing the changer. Because if you don't like you, you will never minister. You'll never help anybody. The only way you can like you, humans, the only way that you can like you is for God to like you. And the only way you're going to fall into that is for you to trust God more than yourself. You must understand that God loves you. If you don't believe that, you will never believe that He likes you. Now, did you hear the steps? You can like things and not love them, and you can love them and not like them. But you're never going to like yourself until you find out that God loves you. And then second step is you must find out that He likes you. See, He has to love you. He promised He loved the whole world. So that's not enough. That's just not enough. Because He's going to love some right into hell. So that's not enough. You've got to find out He likes you. Well, how does He like you? Well, you look like Him and you act like Him. Or at least you want to. What does He not like? Things that are not like Him. Well, this is real complicated, isn't it? If it's not like God, He doesn't like it, and you need to get rid of it. Amen. Old things are passing and being thrown away from the new things of God. What am I saying? This means that it will not be done for us. We must do some eliminating of some old and comfortable things and ways and replace them with new. Now, I held up some of my old, not all of it, one of my old things. And you know what? I haven't seen God snatch it out of my hand. And you know what? I'm really not expecting Him to do that. He's welcome if He wants, but I don't know what He'd do with them. I do too. If He put them on, they'd become new. I'm trying to make a point to you. He's not going to come and take them out of my hand. I have to throw them away. And I have to refuse to wear them again. The only way you're going to not smoke is, and you still want to once in a while, is to refuse to do it again. This is complicated, isn't it? God gives you the power, the authority on your decision and action, not just decision. Let me see if I can make it to that cutting point. 1 Corinthians 15:31, the NIV version. I die every day, Paul is saying, 1 Corinthians 15:31. I die every day. I mean that, brothers. Just as surely as I glory over you in Christ Jesus our Lord, just as sure is I know you're saved and I give God praise for you being saved. Now, I could say this to you, brothers and sisters, as sure as you're sitting here this morning, as sure as I know that God loves you and is working on you, I die every day. That's what Paul said. You know why he was saying that? He wanted to make sure that none of them thought he had arrived. Number two, he wanted to make sure that Satan himself didn't think he had arrived, because that's a dangerous place. He was making a spiritual statement. There's things that crop up in my life every day. I realize they look like this, and I got to get rid of them. Never again will I put those on. Never again will I put those on. Paul, the most prolific writer in the Bible, said of himself, I must change my ways, and I must be changed every day. You know what he didn't say? He didn't say, brother, I'm changing every day. He said, I must be changed. I'm dying to myself every day. You know how they knew it? They saw it. The second thing that we must do is stop listening to what people say and watch what they do. It says that you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. It doesn't say it makes me an overcomer. You overcome by your testimony. Don't tell me about all the terrific things that God's doing in your life. Show me. Don't tell me you go somewhere out across the street or down the way and you lay hands on the sick and they recover and you raise the dead. Don't tell me. Show me. I don't want to hear that kind of nonsense. Show me something in your life. Let me see a smile on your face when there used to be a tear. Let me hear a good statement about your life and not a complaint all the time. Let me see your children change. Let me see you change. Well, Stan, Stan mean nothing. The Bible says by the fruits you will know them. It don't say by their testimony you'll know them. Judas had a tremendous testimony as he walked with Jesus Christ. But Jesus knew. And at the most intimate moment, he turned to him and said, somebody in this place is going to betray me. Who was it? Who was it? The one that was literally laying his head on Jesus' shoulders is the one that was going to betray him, the closest one to him. Are we that way? In public, we've got this Jesus face we put on and we lay our head on his shoulders, and then as soon as we walk away, we sell him out for a little money, a little offering, a little whatever, a little wrong testimony. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I put away my blankie. I put away my pacifier, for those of you that love coffee and Cokes. I put away my pacifier. I began to tell my body what it could eat and what it couldn't eat and what it could drink and what it couldn't drink. When I was a child, I acted like the dogs and the cats. Anything jumped up, I ate. I swallowed. Every path that was open, I ran down, moved by every wind of doctrine. But when I became a man, I started following Jesus. And Jesus became the most important thing in my life. Not me any longer. This is the problem with our praise and worship. I am more important than God Himself. How do I know that? By your fruits. I saw you throw that tantrum. I saw you throw that fit. I saw you get mad. I saw you lie. I saw it. If you think that I saw it, how much more so Jesus saw it? And He said, I thought I had you raised up, but you're just a big old kid. So I'm going to get out the belt and I'm going to whip you again. Men don't have to be whipped. Men be talked to. Men and women of God, grown, mature people, they can be talked to. Children have to be whipped. Like a child's blanket clinging to something that holds us back. It's childish, it's foolish, it's dirty. We need to grow in Christ away from old, childish, comfortable, what we want things. And take on new every day. Let me tell you what, every one of you, listen to me, the most uncomfortable thing that you can have happen to you today is Jesus give you something new. It's not touching old. To the mature Christian, it's not God touching something. Because to a mature Christian, that's like your laundry being done. We found dirt and we washed it away, and oh, that's great. I enjoy that. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. But when he says, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to do something different. Then all of a sudden we wrestle. We get uncomfortable. Because we liked... Who wants new shoes? Harry, why in the world would I put on new shoes when those fit so well? Well, I can tell you one thing. Those won't go too many more miles. And they just won't be shoes. They'll be just leather on top of my feet. That's why Jesus begins to touch you with something new, because he knows the old is worn out. You've taken it to the limit. It is no more use for you. It's not just so that he can make you in uncomfortable things anymore, because those new shoes are going to be uncomfortable when you first put them on. You break them in, they're fine. But they're already growing old. And God already has another thing new. So our job is to stop resisting the new and just swallow it. Take it on, full blast. And when we and others realize this is not happening, see, here's the reason for the message. When we realize this is not happening, that things are not being new on a continual basis, we need to spend time on our faces, reaching out to touch Jesus so that that change occurs. Are you hearing me? There needs to be a hunger for change. Now next week I'm going to, since there is a part two that I thought I was going to get to today, I've dealt with you on a personal basis today about your own problems, your own situations. Next week I want to approach it from a different angle. I want to approach the minister to the one that needs change. And what God is requiring for us, or through us, of us, how to touch those people that are lost without hope, or they're dying right before our eyes. Why, Stan? Because Jesus told me about our little setting straight in the house. Right after that, I'm kind of saying, God, what in the world was that all about? And he said, plain as day, Stan, you'll never minister anywhere if you don't minister in your own home. I'm not going to allow you to minister anywhere else if you can't minister right inside your own house. I'm not a hypocrite. Can you imagine God telling me that? I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not going to allow an impure vessel to go to somewhere else when they can't even minister where their first calling is. Where's your first calling? This is the temple. Second calling, this is the temple. The house. Not her, the house. First and second. If you can't mature there, the third is your children. But they'll be taken care of if you'll take care of this and this.
Yes, that's right.
I promise you, you won't have to worry about your example. God himself will lead you down the path that shows them an example. Next week we're going to talk about the third call, ministering to other people. And what seriousness there is there. Second Corinthians 5:17. If any person be in Christ, knowing him and spending time knowing him every day, that person is becoming new. Old ways and attitudes are passing away, and all can see. Everybody can see that old ways are passing away and things are becoming new. Everybody can see. When's the last time somebody came to you and said, I like the change I see in you? Everybody can see. All things are changing and becoming new and different. My attitudes and outlooks on life are conforming to Jesus. I throw away the old and put on the new. That is, if I'm in Christ. I ask you one more time. If you want to know why I repeat it, because sometimes you don't hear it the first time. What would our kids, our spouse, our relatives, our friends say about our experience or our walk with God? Would they say it's like Christ and it's changing? Or it's flaky as the devil? Old, comfortable, stinking ways. Now, come on, if I pulled up a pair of your 10-year-old shoes, how are they going to smell? I am blessed very much, like the day I wore bottom. But a lot of us are not that way. Try them, if you don't believe it. Never have stinking shoes, never had it in my life. I won't do hers that way. Are we flaky? I'm going to ask you, are you flaky today? Or can somebody place their life in your hands and it be comfortable? They be comfortable. Are they going to be sure if they place something in you, a point of responsibility in you, are they sure it's going well in good hands? Are they going to wonder what happens to it? The reason I want that question answered, you must answer it this morning, is because that's what Jesus is asking us. He's asking every one of us, if I place this responsibility in your hands, what responsibility? Salvation? Healing? Laying hands on the sick and they recover? Testifying? If I give you that responsibility, can I trust you with it? Are 1 minute you're going to be like me and the next minute you're going to be like the devil? Because if that's the case, I'm not going to give it to you. Now, you know what I'm saying is making sense, because if the responsibility were given to you, you'd make the same statement, right? You're not going to give people responsibility when you figure they're going to destroy. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to make us responsible. My word, do you know what this world needs terribly? That's right. Somebody that answers, that's accountable. That there's a higher source. The world knows that you need to be answering to a higher source because they're looking for it. I'm using some of the terms they use. They need to know about you, that you wouldn't steal because you answer to a higher source. You wouldn't lie because you answer to a higher source. They need to know that about you. But I'm telling you, the first time you throw a tantrum, the first time you just implode or explode, that you just check out for a little while and then check back in, they're going to say, they said they were a Christian. Is that the Christ I want to serve? Not me. I don't want to serve a person like that. God's touching. You know that? I hope you guys are keeping up. Because the last 2 weeks God said some powerful things. Now He's saying some more. It's called accountability. Steve called me yesterday. Never had him do this before, but he began to talk to me. And I always try to minister because that's what we're called to do. And he began to cry. He began to weep. Never had him do that before. God's touching. Stan, there's people out there that are hurting and dying. I need an answer. How do I help them? I said, be the man. Be the man. If somebody's lost, you need to be the man with the way. If somebody's hurt, you need to be the man with the remedy. Be the man. We said last week in our scripture, our definitions, remember? The word praise means manly. One of the attributes is manly. Be the man, Steve. Don't weep. That's not going to help anybody. They need answers. They don't need tears. You can just drown them in tears. For those of you that cry easy, you can drown somebody in tears and you can't help them. God don't need a bunch of weepers. He needs some men, women that'll stand up and they'll be to that person what they need to be. First, you must be to Him what you need to be, which is, you know, you are called to worship. Your first and only calling is to worship. And if you can't step up to that plate, then you're not the man. And then if you're a husband, be the man. If you're a wife, be the woman. If somebody's crying, be the one with the answer. But you stand, blah, 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 blah. Don't butt me, that's a goat. Do what I'm telling you to do. If you don't know how, touch Jesus. The ruler walked in. My daughter's dead. But he only said that after worship. Jesus said, you touched me. Let's go take care of it. Death was turned to life. You can say of yourself, praise you, Lord. We worship you. And as you get God's attention, He says, what do you need from me? You can say, there's death in me, I need life. Be the man. There's death over here, I need to speak life. God's going to honor. God's going to honor. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. If you'll stand with me for a moment, I want you to check yourself out this morning. And if somebody wants to come forward for prayer, please do that, but don't think that's the answer. We have people that would love to lay hands and pray and probably ask you to do the same back. But what God wants is change. He wants you to be able to look and say to an old pair of shorts, I will never wear those again. He doesn't want tears. He doesn't want you crawling on the ground. He wants you to stand up and say, I will never wear those again. I will never wear them again. Well, what if I slip and wear them one more time? Well, then it'll be harder the next time. Because God's going to have a tendency to stop believing you. Just like I will. If you don't tell me the truth, I'll have a tendency to stop believing you, right? Men, women, I will never wear those again. That's what you need to say to God this morning. As those things, as God has pointed out to you this morning, He promised to touch every one of you. There's not one exempt person in this place. God has placed something in your mind. And I want you to say to Him, I will never do it again. I will never touch it again. I will never get in that area again. I want you to say it with all your heart. And I want you to understand that the person that you're saying to is omnipresent. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. And the minute you do it again, He'll know. And He'll know that He can't depend on you one more time. You've disappointed Him one more time. Stan, you're being heavy today. Yeah, I am. I'm the heavy today. I am. Why? Because I need this morning to be to you what I need to be. I need to be the man. I need to be the one that takes the burden that God places on my heart and speaks it to you. Or I'm going to be held accountable. Now I'm putting it on you. You need to do what you need to do this morning. Or you're going to be held accountable. Does anybody need special prayer this morning other than what I just described? Does anybody need special prayer this morning? Take care of it. Take care of it now. Take care of it forever. Jerry, I've heard ever since the beginning of the service that if you will stand by the promises that you made God, I mean stick by them, you're going to be healed and He's going to touch you in a way you've never been touched before. I promise you. I promise you. You've got to stick by what you tell Him though. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Tanya, you're a complete failure. God loves you more than you can imagine. Make the promises. Stick by them. Watch Him change things that you've been trying to carry yourself that you can't carry. You weren't designed to carry Him. Watch Him carry Him for you. You hear me? The restrictions that are on you, they're your restrictions. They're your weights. They're not His. They make you crumble. Would you agree with that? And I'll say that to everybody in here. When you take on burdens that you make, you fall. The Bible promises the things that He gives, they're light and easy. Light and easy. Light and easy. A word you need to remember. Light and easy. If it's not light and easy, it's not God. Run it out of the house. Chuck, if she comes down with something that's not light and easy, they're not God. You be the head of the house and you run them out. Take no other report. Okay? Praise you, Jesus. Everybody in here is being called to a higher level. Do you know that? That's what you're feeling this morning. You're being called to a higher level. This is not a tickle your ear thing. This is God putting His boot on and saying, a little higher. You know what? I want that more than anything else. You've heard me say it over and over. No change. There's not God. And I'm really feeling the pressure now. We have to do something different. I'm not saying the church. I'm saying you and I individually, because then the church is going to follow. We need to cry out. We need to reach and touch Him like I talked about last week and the week before. We need to listen and we need to touch. There are several of you in here that God's been working out for years. Not weeks, not months, but years. It's not too late. It's not too late. It's only too late if you will not go the direction He's pushing. But I warn you, there is a too late. And it's not far off. It's not far off. Don't put Him off anymore. What an honor. What an honor. What an honor for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to talk to us. What an honor. I thank You, Lord. I thank You, Lord Jesus. I thank You, Lord, that You took time, that You took the love and the energy to minister to each and every individual this morning. Thank You, Lord. What an honor. What an honor. What an honor. People of God, God talked to me this morning. God talked to me this morning, Jeff. Can you believe that? How about you? Did He talk to you? My word. God of the universe spoke to us directly this morning. Praise You, Father. Praise You, Lord. Jesus, I want to be like You. I want to be like You. I don't care about promotion and I don't care about fancy cars and I don't care about those things. I know that's part of Your plan, but what I care about is You. Praise You, Lord. Are all hearts clear this morning? If you're mad, come forward. If you're hurt, come forward. If you just can't get it clear by yourself, come forward. Otherwise, go find your old drawers and shoes and throw them away. If nothing else, let it be a symbol. Go find, if you like my wife, go find one of those holy panties that you just so value and go throw it away. I got a few too, don't I? Not panties. Watch it. All hearts clear. This is too good a place to leave without it being clear. I'm telling you. I just feel like there's nothing in time right now. Have we lost our Kleenex? Praise You, Jesus. Harry's a man of God.
Yes.
Harry, if you need to say something public, you go ahead. Otherwise, you can whisper to one of these guys or me, or you can stand there and pray, whatever you want. Anyone else?
Harry, you can ask or even think. And He loves you with a love that's so immense that we don't even understand.
Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord.
Thank You, Lord, for completing. Not halfway, but completing the heart. Thank You, Lord, that You're going to complete it. Surrender it.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Tanya, my wife has a problem. Sometimes she confuses the difference between God's expectations and our own. Did you know our expectations can destroy us? God's expectations deliver us. That's what she and I were talking about the other day. Between her and mankind, people put expectations on you. You're a people. We place expectations. And those things can destroy us. Are you hearing me? The things that we place on ourselves will destroy us. But when God touches, they don't destroy. Even if it feels pressure at the moment, if it feels like I'm kind of like Harry, kind of falling forward a while ago, it's just too much. That's nothing but deliverance. That is not destruction. If things get too big, they're your expectations. If they just look big and turn out easy, they're God's expectations. You understand what I'm talking about? You can pick up those words. My wife will work herself silly trying to meet some self-imposed expectation. They are our enemy. That's what I'm trying to say. Those self-imposed expectations are our enemies. Praise the Lord. I said everybody here would be touched this morning. And I promise you, if you weren't touched, you better fall on your face. Something's wrong, real wrong. I would be very concerned. If you weren't touched in praise and worship, I'd be concerned. Praise you, Lord. All hearts clear? Yeah, praise God. That's the best testimony I've heard in a long time. Short and simple. Praise the Lord. Next week, once again, we'll talk about the other side of this. Won't you pray about that and see if God can touch you again? Amen? All right. Why don't we pray? Father, I thank you so much for your touch this morning in worship. Thank you for your presence. I thank you that you're breaking our hearts so that you can create it in your likeness and image, the heart of God. I don't want to know Stan. I want to know you. I don't want to spend my life trying to figure out what I'm about, how I fit. I just want to know that I fit in you, Christ Jesus, and that you're pleased. I don't want to pray during the week, what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? I don't want to worry about finances. I don't want to worry about future. My future is in Christ Jesus. My supply is in Christ Jesus. And I will never wear anything else again but that. I let it pass away. Worries about finances, oh, what silliness. What silliness. About my health, it's in Christ Jesus. My future, it's in Christ Jesus. But how can I minister? It's in Christ Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now, I know the enemy's going to be quick to come. Say you really didn't mean it, or you're going to fall down again, and maybe we will fall. But you know what, God, you remember. I will remind you in the middle of this prayer, I will remind you. Let me give you a testimony. You've heard it. I want to remind you again. A number of years ago, probably around 12 years ago, back there on an old country road where nobody was around, kind of at the end of myself, I made a promise to God. And it was the strangest one. I even thought when I made it, how in the world can that be? But I told him, I said, never listen to me again if I ever say anything but this. I love you with all my heart, Jesus, and I'll never turn from you. I have no other calling in my life but to serve you. I'll never turn from you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll serve you all the days of my life and never act like or say anything different. You don't remember that. You remember what my covenant to you is this moment. And as God is my witness, every time I get a little down, He points back to that covenant. He reminds me, do you remember what you told me? I'm not listening to that nonsense. Because I remember in one of your sane moments what you told me. I'm not going to listen to you while you're insane. I'll just wait just a moment. You take a breath and you tell me again. And he's faithful. Man, I was having some stomach problems in the last week that were just about to kill me. And he always reminded me of the covenant. You promised me, I promised you. The devil's going, you got cancer. You silly, silly little boy. You silly little boy, devil. I'm listening to the God of the universe tell me I'm all right. And you think that you can speak to me that way? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? One of these days I'm going to die. But here's my covenant, not by the hands of the devil. Not by the hands of the devil. It's going to be one of these days, middle of the night, whatever, God's going to say, Stan, can I talk to you for a second? Come let us reason together. You've done everything I've asked you to do. You've got as far as I need you to go. How'd you like to come be with me? You know what? I'm going to say at that point, that's the best deal I've ever been offered in my life. Done. But I'm going to wait till that point. How about you? Never going to put on that old mess again of, I can get cancer. I can get diabetes. I can die of a car wreck. But you don't understand, Stan. There's other people out there. No, they're not. No, they're not. There's nothing out there but me and Jesus. The Bible says no weapon formed against even me can prosper, even you. That's where I'm at. I want to be the man that stands in front of you and tell you that openly. Remember last week, and then we'll close. The ruler stood up. He walked up. He walked up to Jesus and he bowed. The ruler bowed before Jesus and worshiped. He left his kingship, his rulership, whatever that is. He left it behind him. It was no longer important. And he said, I need you, Jesus. And he worshiped until he got Jesus' attention. And Jesus reached over and said, what can I do for you? Well, this is a complicated life, isn't it? That's the answer to everything right there. What can I do for you? Well, you see, the world tells me that I don't have a daughter anymore. But I say to you, Jesus, if you can but touch her, I'll have her back. What problem do you have that's more important than that? That's bigger than that? Father, we worship you this morning. Jesus, we worship you. We say it very simple. You take the high place, we take the low place. And we want to hear from you and we want to touch you. I will say, as I said last week, my heart will never be clear of that statement. I'll always be attempting to touch you, Jesus. And I will do it. Every day in thought, word, and deed, I will touch you. I will not sin, I will touch you. We love you with all of our hearts. Use us the rest of this day, the rest of our lives, to glorify and magnify you. Let us be bold enough while we worship you to embarrass ourselves, our flesh. Let our flesh be embarrassed by our testimony and our witness and our worship to you, so that it dies and the spirit man can become strong. Teach us your ways, Lord. And for these things, we know you're faithful. Teach us to be as faithful as you. We give you praise and honor and glory forever in Jesus' name. Everybody that agrees says amen.